Big session number 10240, reel 1.
Can you tell me when you joined the Navy in the first place, Mr. Card?
Was it 31st of April? No, March.
Which year?
30 March, 1937.
Why did you decide to join?
Well, the job I had on as a net boy, errand boy, was no prospect there, you know. And I thought, well, there was no other work going really, so I thought, well, I'll join the Navy, see a bit of the world at the same time, you know.
How long did you sign up for?
12 years.
Which was the first ship that you joined?
HMS Cairo.
And when was it that you joined the Ajax?
Oh, I've got the date there in
1938,
my record.
Was it?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, 38. That's right, 38.
What kind of a ship was she to serve on?
Well, she was a light cruiser. Very nice, you know. Very strict routine, you know. But of course, once you got used to it, I suppose that was it, you know, after a few years on there.
In what way was the routine so strict?
Well, the discipline was very strict on there, you know. The discipline in just pre-war days, this is, isn't it? And more strict then, you know. It eased a bit during the war, put it that way.
Can you give any examples of how strict it was?
Well, no, not. But the discipline was very, you know, precise. You had to do this and that and everything, you know what I mean? Real discipline. That when the war started, it sort of slipped up. It wasn't so... The officers were more sociable to you when the war started.
So did you prefer the discipline in the war?
What do you mean?
Did you personally prefer the discipine in the war?
Well, yes, I suppose it was the real training for you, wasn't it? Being youngsters, you know what I mean. It was the training that paid off, I suppose, in the long run, didn't it? You know, you had night action stations and you was at sea for long times, you know what I mean, like that. Especially when the war started, more so, because we was in the South Atlantic and you was days and days at sea, you know, then. Because they was neutral countries, wasn't they, down that way, you see, when the war started, wasn't they?
What was your job aboard ship?
Well, I was a stoker. I was always down below, more than anywhere, you know, either in the engine room, boiler room, on the catapult sometimes, but not very often, on the evaporators, on the turbo generators, on the steering motors, all things like that, everything up below, you know.
What kind of work would you do on the catapult?
Well, you'd be with the engineer, the oiling and things like that with the catapult, because they were steam then, you know, you see. But you didn't have a log on there. It's just to say that you've had a bit of training on there, you know. So you used to do auxiliary watch keeping and things like that to do different courses, perhaps a couple of months on evaporators, a couple of months on catapults, a couple of months on the steering motors, and then watch keeping on the generators and all things like that, you see.
What were the evaporators?
Well, for making fresh water. You made your own fresh water at sea, you know.
Did you go to the West Indies before the war when they had the riots there?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
I've got some photographs in there of that somewhere. Yeah, well, Sir Henry, what was his name? Well, I had it on the tip of my tongue a little while ago. Sir Henry,
Was he the governor?
Yeah, he was the governor of the island. Yeah.
Jamaica.
Yeah, that's right. And then Bustamante, they had a price on his head at the time, didn't they? Yeah, because there was riots there. We went there for the riots, actually, to Jamaica. And then Sir Henry Denham. Denham, was it? I think it was. Anyway, I could check up in there. But I was one of the bearers on the funeral, you know, from the church. We went to the church here and they had a service, and then we took him through the town down to the quayside, and then on the Ajax and buried him at sea.
This was the governor who died?
Yeah.
Do you know why they were rioting in Jamaica?
Well, no, not actually. I know that the Bustamante was the head one, and I think there was a price on his head in them days. But then I think it finished up that he was the sort of president of the island after, wasn't he?
I think so.
Later, you know, later years, he was the big noise of it, sort of thing, you know.
Did you see anything of the riots?
Well, no, not a lot, no. They used to have troops go ashore in different times, but I never did do, you know.
So you never went ashore in Jamaica?
See, we had leave there and used to go ashore there, you know, in Jamaica.
But not to do a duty?
No, not any duty ashore.
Did the people seem friendly towards you?
Oh, yes, I was very friendly. Very friendly towards us. You know.
Coming on to the outbreak of war, what was your own reaction when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
Well, we was at sea. We knew before, in the, you know, the Munich crisis?
Yes.
Our captain then, we thought we might go to war then, didn't we? You know,
yes.
When the Munich crisis was on. And our captain said then, that was Woodhouse, he said, well, look, he said, the Munich crisis is over. But he said, we're going to be at war shortly with Germany. And he said, what's going to happen? I'm going to train you and make you really efficient. He said, you'll be fed up with a routine day and night. But he said, I'm going to work you that you're going to be really efficient, a fighting ship, you know, efficient fighting ship. So, of course, we used to spend quite a lot of time at sea. With the Exeter on a lot of occasions, you know, doing night action and all things like that, you know.
How did the crew react when the captain said that he was going to work you hard?
Well, they was all right. I mean, you know, you get fed up, you can't argue much with your captain, can you? His word's law, isn't it? Captain Woodhouse. But, you know, he did train you well. Of course, I suppose, when you weigh it up, you know, I mean, it paid off, really, didn't it, in the long run, later with the Graf Spee turnout, you see.
What did the crew think of Captain Woodhouse?
Well, they liked him quite a lot, I think, the captain himself. You know, he was a good captain. Funny thing, nearly every captain of the Ajax, you know, they all clue... Nearly all clued up as admirals, you know. Woodhouse, what's the other one? McCarthy. He did. Another one. One after him in the mid as well. But nearly all finished up as admirals.
What did the men think of the officers on board the Ajax?
Well, some of them was all right, you know. Some of the officers was all right. I mean... We had some were very strict and some of the, you know, easy going a bit on you. But I think it changed a bit once the war started. The war seemed to alter them to that extent that, well, if I get sunk, you get sunk as well, sort of thing, you know what I mean? They're in the same boat, aren't they? Hey? If you're an officer and I'm just a stoker, and you're living together, and we're in action, or any time, day and night, you could be, couldn't you? they seemed to be a bit more friendlier then, you know. And I found that out right during the war, right through the war then, when I joined, as I said, these smaller ships especially, you know.
So do you think that the Ajax did have an efficient crew?
Oh yes, yes, it was very efficient. Very efficient crew.
You were telling me that about the duties of Ajax off the coast of South America once war broke out. Can you tell me again about that in detail, about the interception of German merchant ships?
Well, you see, they was neutral countries and we was only allowed in there once in 3 months, I think it was. You see, so you'll be at sea for a month and perhaps have 24 hours in Montevideo, and you'll go to sea for another month and have 24 hours in Buenos Aires, and then you'll have another month at sea, and then perhaps you'll have a month 24 hours in Rio de Janeiro. You see, being there was all neutral countries, so the rest of the time we was at sea.
Was there much difference between Montevideo and Buenos Aires from the point of view of the attitude of the people there towards the Royal Navy?
Yes, I think they was more for us in Uruguay, you know, Montevideo, than BA. We called it BA, you know, short. Because I suppose really you had so many different communities there, didn't you? Big city like that, you see, you had German, Italian, didn't you? British.
Would you come across any hostility in Buenos Aires?
No. As a matter of fact, a lot of the... When we used to go, say, well, come on, let's go and have a meal, we used to go in the Munich bars there in BA and have a beer and what we called big eat steak, egg and chips, you see. And it was German, but it was no trouble. We just paid and went out, things like that, no trouble there. But it was funny to think that they was the German bars, but we knew that where you could get the big eats, what we call big eats, you see, or we go ashore like big eats, you know. And that's what we used to do, you see. Have a couple of beers and steak, eggs and chips. That was our favourite, you know.
In what way would they be friendly towards you in Montevideo?
Well, they, I suppose it happened more so after the River Plate. We called in there as well, you see. And everybody there was cheering and waving. And we'd been there a couple of times before the battle, so you see. And when after the battle we went in there, and of course, I suppose they made us quite welcome there, you see. I've got some photos of the grass being Montevideo there anyway, if you wanted to look at them later.
Which German ships, merchant ships, did you intercept off the South American coast? Can you remember?
Yeah, well, there was the first one was the Olinda. That was September the 3rd, the Olinda. And then we sunk that one. Well, took the crew off, and we took the crew to the Falkland Islands, Port Stanley. Then after that was the Carl Fritzen, another German, and then the Usakuma. So that was three we had sunk. And of course, later on, you know, as I said, the Battle of River Plate turned up. But I think, I'm not sure now, but I think they give us a talk one day that we might run into a pocket battleship out here at some time. I've got an idea that they give us a talk once that if we did, we would shadow it and go at night action. Have you heard that at all?
No.
Well, I'm not sure, but if you ask anybody else, they might say, yes, that's true, that I think they give us a talk once that we might run into one, and if we did, what we would do, we would shadow it during the day and then go at night action.
How did you all feel about that?
Well, I suppose you thought, well, if it comes to it, that's it, isn't it? You know, you're not expecting it. You're just sort of forewarned, aren't you, sort of thing, you know. You see, but of course it turned out that, I suppose, with her eye tower, you know, no good us shadowing her, would it be, really, when you weigh it up, because she could see us miles away, couldn't she? With her, you know, her conning tower right up high, wouldn't she? See? Of course, there was no radar in them days, was there? Not 39.
Can we go on to the Battle of the River Plates, and can you tell me what you what your own action station was?
I was in the boiler rooms. A, B and C. I think it was A boiler room. I wouldn't be really sure. I know it was in the boiler rooms, you know. And, of course, when you're at full speed there, you know, you're on the go all the time sort of thing, because you had 9 sprayers on a boiler. You know, and if you've got to clean all them sort of thing when they're going, you've got your work cut out sort of thing. You're working all the time sort of thing, you know, after cleaning one and under the other one. But then you're up and down all the time, you know. There's tons of work to do there, sort of thing, you know.
What do these sprayers look like?
Well, you had a boiler with 9 sprayers on, superheated steam, and you had to flash them on and off. If the PO said up one, up two, sprayers went on, or down one, down two, down three, shut them off, like that, you see. Because the old pressure was up and down like that all the time. Because it's superheated steam, you know. And with 9 sprayers full belt, that old boiler's, you know, full out, you see, 350 pound, superheated steam.
And that was your workers' action station?
Yeah.
How many of you would be doing that?
Well, you had 6 boilers. You know, it's quite a lot. One on each boiler, you know, and two POs, and then you had a PO on the water tender as well, you know.
Whereabouts were the boilers located in the ship?
Well, right under the water, weren't they?
Fore or aft?
Well, they're in about the centre, really. You work from the centre. So, well, say just past of the bridge, just, you know, if you come down from the bridge, just past that a little way, then you'll have A, B and C, 3 boiler rooms. Then you have your engine room, gear room.
Can you remember the call to action stations for the Battle of the River Plate? Can you remember what happened?
Well, the old alarm went, of course, you're there straight away, ain't you? You know. You could either be on duty down below, or you might be rest period, or you might be standby. See, whenever there's an action stations, it's not mean you're just down below. If you're down below, you'll stop there until your relief comes down and change over shifts, sort of thing. See, you're doing 3 shifts, different shifts all the time. So your day and night, you're working day and night, shift work, you know. And then if you're down below, well, you're down below. Or if you're not, you might be standby to go down below. See? Or you could be fire and repair party, which in that case you'll be in the wash place there, standing by there in case there's a fire anywhere, and you'll stand by. Fire and repair party. So whenever there's an action, every man in the ship has got a place to go to.
When action stations were called for the Battle of River Plate, did you realise that straight away that you were going into action?
Oh no. The old just action stations went off and away we went. See, sometimes it'll go and you might think it's a dummy run. You know, you're not always sure. You see, same as the action stations ago, perhaps just before it's daylight in the morning. so that everybody in the ship is at action stations, and just when it's getting daylight, the skipper from the bridge looks all round just to see if there's anything loafing around. So the ship is already at number one action station for anything going, you see. They'd already done that, and then they couldn't see anything, and then just after they had dispersed, sort of thing, a little while later, so the alarm went again. And of course it was the real thing then.
How soon after you got your action stations did you realise that you were actually in a battle?
Well, you don't get when you're in a boardroom, you don't get much coming through to there. All you're doing is you're busy, you know. But in yourself, you know, hello, there's something going on here, you know. And once the old guns open up, you know you're into something. Once the old 6-inch guns start firing.
What does it feel like in the boiler room when the guns open?
Well, the old ship shakes, you know. Some of the lights go out and all, you know. But you hear the old broadside going, sort of thing. Oh, we're into something now, you know. You know yourself. There's something there the way you're firing, you know.
Was the ship lurching from side to side as it manoeuvred?
Yeah. Well, we was, you know, different manoeuvring. One minute you're full belt, and then you're eased down a bit, and then full belt again, you know. You're manoeuvring all the time, sort of thing. So where you're, as I say, if you've got 9 sprayers, if you're going full speed, you'll have them all on. Then you'll ease down, and perhaps you'll have perhaps 4 on. Sprayers. You're perhaps 2 on, you ease down slower still. Then next minute up again, full speed ahead, and off you go again. So you was manoeuvring all the time, and that's where really when you're like that, your time is taken up, doesn't it? You know, you're not thinking about what's gonna come in here, are you? Or you didn't even know what you was at for a while, you know. Sort of thing.
During the battle, did anything go wrong in the boiler room?
No. That was all efficient, everything.
Could you feel the shells of the Graf Spee hitting the ship?
Well, no. It hit aft, you know. I didn't feel nothing, because I suppose with all the action going on there, you know, you're too busy with these sprayers and cleaning them all the time to worry about anything else. You got to keep them all clean, you see, because the old carbon builds up around them a lot, you know, especially when you're full speed with 9 sprayers on, you know. You got to keep them clean.
So you didn't even hear explosions of shells hitting?
Well, I can't recollect it hitting us, but because your own guns are going all the time, aren't they? Now you get them 8 guns going all the time. You don't worry too much, you know. You know you're firing, that's it, you know. And you know there's something going on.
Were you frightened?
Well, a bit, I suppose, you know, because it's your first action, isn't it? You know there's something special going on. But you all get a bit frightened, I suppose. But I suppose I was more frightened later at Crete than I was in the River Plate. More so at Crete. Whether it was me first one, I don't know. But maybe it was. Well, it was me first action, actually.
Were you kept informed in the boiler room as to what was happening?
No, they did later on, you know. They said, they thought it was the Shear, actually, not the Graf Spee at the time. I think they thought it was the Shear, you know, Admiral Shear. But of course, later on, they found it was the Graf Spee.
So you didn't have a running commentary as to what was going on?
Oh, no. Later on, you know, we did hear that. She's running away towards Montevideo away, and we were sort of shadowing it, you know. And then she'd open up now and again at us, you know, sort of thing.
How long do you think you were at action stations? Was it hours?
Yeah, well, it started, what is it, just after six, didn't it?
I don't know.
Yes, it started about six or just after in the morning. And then, don't forget, the action was over in, oh, I don't know, a couple of hours, I suppose, something like that. And then we were sort of shadowing it all the time, you know. I've got photographs of it all there, you could look at it later.
Once the shadowing started, were you then removed from the boiler room?
Well, yeah, your relief come down and changed over, you know, and then you'll go perhaps stamp a fire party, you see. Fire and repair party.
Is that what you did?
What did I... Yeah, I think I did after that one. Come from down below. Yeah. You see, sometimes stokers don't in the magazines, you know. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you'd have, as I say, you've always got every man in the ship. I wasn't at this time, but sometimes you'll be down in the magazine handing up shells, 6-inch shells, to go up to the top, up to the guns. Stokers have been doing that, you know.
Did you see any of the casualties on the AJ?
No. Although I found out afterwards that there was a Ramsgate boy that was killed on there, but I didn't know him.
Who was he?
Farley, he was a boy. I didn't know until after the action that he come from Ramsgate, actually.
Did you see the damage that was done to the Ajax?
Oh, yeah, I went round afterwards and had a look.
Can you describe the damage?
Well, not now, you know, because there was so much going on and all different fellas all round having a look, you know, and then also they come up, off, away you go, clear away. Got work to do, you know, sort of things like that, you see.
Where did the shells of the grass bear hit?
Well, the one come aft, then just after the quarter deck, I think it was the X or Y shell, 4-6-inch gun place, around that way, aft, you know. But it was only 1 11-inch anyway. But if it had come a bit far, it could have been the ballroom, couldn't it, put it that way? And that would have made a lot of difference, wouldn't it, to the action as well, see? If you get one there.
When the Ajax was shadowing the grass bay, could you see the enemy ship?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I went up and had a look.
What did it look like?
Oh. Just like a... well, as I say, the Graf Spee, how can I say, it was just an ordinary ship, you know, warship. Saw it in the distance.
Did it just look like a dot on the horizon?
No, it was just, you can see it was a sort of a warship, you know, because of her conning tower. She had a big...